Praise God. And if you have your Bible, if you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23, 1 Samuel chapter 23, praise God. Hallelujah. Tonight, the title of this message, I've got a divine protector watching over me. Say that with me. Help me with my title. Say that with me. Say it about yourself. I've got a divine protector watching over me. Look at somebody else and tell them, I've got a divine protector. He is El Shaddai, and he's watching over me. Is anybody glad about that tonight? I tell you, my life, I think in my life so many times how God has protected me, God has kept me and blessed me. And I've shared so many times, I remember, it'll never get old, I remember being on a FedEx plane, jump seating on a FedEx plane, headed out of Memphis, Tennessee, going to Newark, New Jersey. And it was somewhere between 2 and 3 in the morning. We were on a big, fully loaded DC-10. A DC-10 is a huge plane, and it was loaded with freight. And there were two other people and myself. We were jump seating on that plane headed to Newark, New Jersey. And they ran that plane down the runway, and we took off. And oh, man, the thrust that it takes to get that big plane loaded with freight in the air. And as we were still in our ascent, and oh, my goodness, the bang from the explosion of the engine, one of the engines just exploded, and it looked like that big DC-10 was falling out of the air. And I just remember my life just flashing in front of me, and I just instinctively started praying in tongues and just claiming safety. I know that because when we got down on the ground, one of the other girls there was a girl and a guy, they were going somewhere together, and I never forget that. I've told you that before, where we got back on the tarmac, the captain, that big DC-10, it rolled to the right like it was falling out of the sky, and he somehow got it overcorrected. It rolled back to the left like it was falling out of the sky, and all the alarms were going off, and oh, my goodness. And then they were trying to radio the tower. One pilot was trying to radio the tower. The other pilot was trying to get an emergency landing book, and that thing was flying all over the cockpit, and oh, my. When they got it down, they put it down, and all the emergency equipment was waiting for us and foaming down the plane. I never forget that the girl, that guy. She said, sir, I know you're a Christian. I heard you praying. And she said, I just want to know if we get back on another plane, can I sit next to you? I'll sit next to you. I know you're a Christian. I was praying in a brand new tongue. Oh my goodness. And I never forget, she told him, she said, I'm confessing my sins. Me and him, we was going somewhere to do something. She said, I'm not doing it. I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing it. I'm not going. I'm not doing it. And boy, there's something about falling out of the sky in a DC-10 to make you confess all your sins to God, I tell you. But God is our divine protector. And thank God we've got a divine protector watching over us. I remember so many times in my life, the Lord has protected me. I remember John Paul in college. He was on a golf scholarship. And I remember John, when they would play golf, oftentimes if they were in the state of Kansas playing, or John would call and say, Dad, we're within, 4 or 5 hours, whatever it is, can you get here? And I'd jump in the car and go see him. And, you know, when they tee off early. They tee off about 8:30. And you're somehow, most of the times you're about 4 hours away driving. So that tells you what time you got to leave. If he's teeing off at 8:30 and you want to get there about 8 o'clock, make sure everything is set up, then you're leaving real early in the morning to get down there. And then you're there all day. Sometimes they're playing 36 holes. And even if they play 18, by the end of the day, then the coach says, do you want to come and have lunch with the team? I haven't seen him, sometimes months. I'll go have lunch with the team, then get in the car. And John always come to the car and say, Dad, I'm concerned about you driving home. By this time, it's late at night, and I've been up since, maybe 3 in the morning. I remember one time that happened. John walked me to the car, and he hugged me and said, Dad, I'm concerned about you driving home. We always had a deal. We don't drive, sleeping and falling asleep. And we always stop. Hey, we'll grab a hotel before we go to sleep at the wheel of a car. And he said, when you get to Blackwell, because Blackwell was the last place for a good hotel, he said, you call me from Blackwell, let me know you're all right. And he said, why don't you just stay? And I said, no, I want to get back. And I jumped in the car and was headed back. I'll never forget. I was quoting because John, he was coming through Kansas one time, and he hit a deer. Thank God it was a small enough deer, but he hit it. And man, by the time we got his car all fixed up and cleaned up, the skull of the deer was underneath his car, caught in some of the pipes and all that. We had to get all that junk out of there, get his car clean. And I was confessing God's word, Father, you're my protector. Because, you know, you're flying home and you're trying to get back home. And I was saying, Lord, you're my protector. And now it's late at night, it's dark. And I said, Lord, I thank you. Don't let a deer run out in front of my car. I just claim your protection. I'm claiming the 91st Psalm. And, you know, but you're moving pretty quick. And anyway, I got to one point and I saw a deer begin to dart out at me. And that thing, it just raised up on its hind legs. Instead of running into the road, into the highway, it was right on the shoulder of the road and was about to run right in front of my car, and it just raised up on its hind legs. And I went by, and then it came down, and I don't know what it did after that, but I caught my breath and said, oh God, thank you, you're my protector. I know that thing would have run out in front of me. I know I would have hit that deer tonight if you hadn't protected me. I said, we have a divine protector. His name is El Shaddai. And I'm convinced of this. God, he has protected you over and over again. Am I right about it? The Lord has protected you. You know that God has protected you in certain situations, circumstances, and scenarios. And you know that no man, no woman could have protected you, but it was God Almighty who protected you. Can I get an amen there? He is a divine protector. And he will guard us. He will protect us. And I thank him for the times over and over again in my life where he has protected me. You're in 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. And we're going to start at verse 24, if you don't mind. And I'm going to read just down to the end. 1 Samuel 23, we're going to start at verse 24. It's a scenario where King Saul is in a jealous rage and he's trying to kill David, but he can't catch him. He can't find him. If he finds him, he's going to kill him. David is going to be the new successor, and Saul in a jealous rage is trying to kill him. And so 1 Samuel 23 at verse 24. And then they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Moen, in the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon. And when Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David and came down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard it, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul. And Saul and his men were surrounding David and his men to seize them. But a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land. So Saul returned from pursuing David and went to meet the Philistines. And therefore they called that place the Rock of Escape. And David went up from there and stayed in the stronghold of En-Gedi. You know, when you read chapter 23, it's very, very interesting. The whole thing is about Saul pursuing David. And David is hiding from Saul. And in the midst of his hiding, the Bible tells us in this chapter that David has 600 men with him. Saul, on the other hand, he's the king of Israel. He has 3,000 trained warriors hunting for David. Think about that. They've got the best horses, the best equipment, the best, you know, of whatever. They're sick. 3,000 men are hunting down these 600 men, and they're looking for one. They're looking for David. And while David's hiding, he finds out these people from Keilah, they are being attacked by the Philistines. And David asks the Lord in this chapter, should I go and help them? He's hiding from Saul, but he asked the Lord, should I go help them? The Philistines are attacking them. And the Lord tells David, go and help them. And David, his men don't like that decision because they say, now, wait a minute, we're hiding. We're not even safe in Judah. And you want to go help somebody else? We're not safe ourselves. And David prays again and asks the Lord, he inquires of God, and God says, go help them. And David knew he was under that banner of God's protection. David knew that there was a God watching over him. And so they go and help the people of Keilah, and they fight the Philistines, and they defeat the Philistines, and they take all of the loot and all of the cattle from the Philistines, and they give, you know, they save Keilah. And then all of a sudden, David gets word that somebody there in Keilah has betrayed him now. And now they've sent word to Saul, "We found David. We know you want to kill David. We found him." This is chapter 23 is about. And Saul says, in effect, "Go and double check. Find out where he's hiding. Come back and report to me, and I'm going to bring my warriors, and we're going to finally get him. We got him now. And what we read is that scene of Saul on one side of the mountain. He's got 3,000 men, and he sent his men to surround David. So some of his men they're closing in on David on both sides. And David is a goner. He's a sure goner. I mean, the enemy's got him now. The enemy working through Saul has got him. He's a goner. And then the Bible says that Saul gets a message that the Philistines have attacked Israel, and he's got to get back right away. And just when he was about to get David, he's got to stop. He's got to go back to Israel to put down the revolt of the Philistines. And David is protected once again. God, our God, he's a protecting God. And we ought to thank him for it. The key to all of that, I'll read you one more verse there. The key to all of it is in 1 Samuel 23, verse 14. Let's just read one more verse there. This is the key to David's protection. David stayed in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hands. The reason that Saul couldn't catch him is because God was protecting him. And our God, he's a protecting God. He is a protecting God. Go with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, David talking to the Lord in Psalm 37. Psalm 32, verse 7. 7 is our verse. Psalm 32, verse 7. Forgive me. Psalm 32, verse 7. David told the Lord, he said, "You are my hiding place." He said, "You protect me from trouble." He said, "You surround me with songs of deliverance." Yeah, I like that. David calling God who he is. And you know, my brother and sister, we have to do that same thing. We have to speak forth God's promises. We have to speak forth his promises of protection. We have to, in fact, remind ourselves of God's promises of protection. We need to remind ourselves on a daily basis, speaking God's promises of protection. It does two things. Number one, it reminds us of how faithful God has already been. And I tell you, he's worthy of praise. I said, God has already been faithful to you and I, and he's worthy of our praise. And we ought to bless him every day for what he's already done. And when we remind ourselves of the promises of God, guess what? We remind ourselves that God is faithful. We thank him for how he's protected us. And then we confess his promises for a brand new day. Praise God. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? David said, "You are my hiding place." There is a place in God. There is a place in God's presence where nobody can get to you. I wonder if anybody's ever been there. David said, "You're my hiding place. You're my hiding place." Oh, and God's got a hiding place. Somebody said, "What is the way? What is the direction? What are the coordinates? How do you get there? Can I put it in a GPS?" Oh, I can tell you how to get there. You can get there. You can get there through his word, through following the principles of his word. You can get there through worshiping God. When we enter into worship, we'll enter into that place. God's got a secret place, a secret place. Oh, glory to God. And I tell you, when we get to that secret place, nobody can get to you. In that secret place, there is tranquility. There is peace. There is presence in that secret place. And you might be visible to somebody, but if somebody's intending to harm you, they won't be able to do anything to you. Why? God, he is a protecting God. I've got a divine protector watching over me. Praise God. Go to Isaiah 41 with me. Isaiah 41, verse 10. We have to remind ourselves of the promises of God. We've got to remind ourselves of the promises of God. That'll make you think back on what he's already done and remind us he's worthy of praise. And yet it'll give us good confession of what God's yet to do in protecting us. Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Oh, I love that. How many love that verse? God, he's a protecting God. I've got a divine protector watching over me. Say that with me. I've got a divine protector watching over me. Just flip the page a little bit. Go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, starting at verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. But now thus says the Lord your God, but now thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Oh, glory to God. He said, when you pass through the waters, and sometimes, you know, somebody said, well, I'll tell you this, what God doesn't protect you from, he'll deliver you through. Can I say it that way? I said, he's worthy of praise because even if you do go through something, that hey, God will deliver you through it. He'll either protect you from it or he'll deliver you through it. But he said, if you go through the water, it's not going to overflow you. And if you go through the fire, it's not going to burn you. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. You know, going through adversity and years ago, going through my divorce, God told me when I bring you out on the other side, you won't even smell like smoke. And I can say he's faithful to his word. I said, he bought me out. He bought me through. Praise God. Amen. And he'll bring you out and he'll bring you through. Praise God. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, like David, before he fought Goliath, he said, I remember when God helped me fight a lion and a bear. God bought me through. He was my divine protector over the lion. He was my divine protector with the bear. And he'll be my divine protector with this uncircumcised Philistine. And I don't know what kind of uncircumcised Philistine you have to face. But I do know this, God, our God, he's your divine protector. He's a divine protector. Over in Isaiah 54, verse 17, we all know and love that verse. Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Glory be to God. God says a personal word to you, and it ought to be a rhema word. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Hey, we ought to praise him for that. God is a good God. He is our mighty, mighty God. Go with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Praise God. He's our divine protector. I've got a divine protector watching over me. Praise God. Hallelujah. His name is El Shaddai. What's that mean? God Almighty. Praise God. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, starting at verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the deadly pestilence, and he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Oh man, I love that verse. He will cover you with his pinions. That means his feathers. That means he'll put his feathers around. I was playing golf one day, and we were out there playing golf, and I saw a big duck, and I didn't notice the little ducklings, but then Mama Duck got excited about something, and she started flapping her wings and calling. All those little ducklings came running, and she just opened up her arms and just shut down right on them. And you couldn't even tell that there was a duckling underneath those. She just spread her wings around them all. But she could see what they couldn't see. And she could see the hawk or whatever bird that it was that was circling, that was putting them in danger. And she called them. They ran right to her, and she shut down with those wings around them. And I stopped the golf cart and said, oh, that's what God does to us. That's Psalm 91. Well, my golf buddy said, come on, man. We're trying to play golf out here. We didn't come out here to see nature. I said, but that's Psalm 91 right there in front of our eyes. I said, God, he's a protecting God, and we've got a divine protector, and he is watching over us. Psalm 46, verse 1. Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1. Praise God. God is always there, right in the midst of trouble. God doesn't run. When we get in trouble, God doesn't run from us. God doesn't hide from us. Oh, glory to God. He opens up his wings and says, come get under the shelter. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. I like that. And when you go through trouble, you can count on him. He's right there with you, and he will see you through. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and find shelter. Over and over again, the word of God reminds us of how good God is to protect us. And the thing I like about it, Hebrews 13:8 says, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And if he ever protected anybody, then he's protecting you tonight. He protected Joseph in Genesis 37, 18 through 22, when his brothers had determined that, you know, we found out Joseph wound up in a pit, but their plan was to kill Joseph. Genesis 37, 18 says they formulated a plot. The plot was to kill him. And it was his oldest brother that got to all the others and said, listen, let's just throw him in a pit. Let's just throw him in a pit. He was intending to come back and get Joseph later, but he was sold to the Ishmaelites. But it was God who was protecting Joseph from the death plot that was against him. It was God protecting the Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 through 30. And they enraged the king in verse 19, and he got mad. And he said, I'm going to turn that furnace up 7 times hotter. And no doubt you've read that story. The men who threw them into the furnace, they died from the heat of the flames themselves. And yet they threw the 3 Hebrew boys in there. And when the king opened the door to look in there, he saw another man, a fourth man, dancing in the fire. And he said, this fourth man is likened to the Son of God. I said, you may go through the fire, but Jesus will be right there with you to strengthen you, to help you, to see you through, to let you know that you can make it. Hey, and everything's going to be all right. We serve a God who's a protector. We've got a divine protector watching over us. It was God who was watching over Daniel in chapter 6 when they threw Daniel into a lion's den with hungry lions. And Daniel made a pillow out of those lions because God himself was protecting him. And I don't know what you're facing, but I know the same God who protected Daniel is the same God who's protecting you. Can I say this? It was God protecting Paul in Acts 9:25 when Paul, having been recently converted and he had made a bunch of people mad and there were death plots to get him, in Acts 9:25, they had formed a plot to kill Paul. And you know what they did? They found a hole in the wall, and in the middle of the night, they let Paul down on a rope in a big basket. They put him in a basket and let him down the rope so he could escape. And like Pastor always says, hey, you know what? There is wisdom in learning to live to preach another day. I said God's protection operates through wisdom. I won't get no amen teaching like that. Sometimes people nullify the protection of God because they get outside of the wisdom of God. But we can't get outside of his wisdom. It was wisdom for Paul to get in that basket. I'm sure Paul didn't want to get in that basket. That wasn't the most glorious way to leave. To leave a town, wait till it's night, find a hole in the wall, put him in a basket, tie a rope to him, let him down, then say escape. But he was able to preach another day because he operated in wisdom. And I'm convinced that so often in the body of Christ, we need to be operating in wisdom. Let's not nullify the protection of our God because we're not operating in wisdom. And when God speaks a word to you, a rhema word, then obey that thing. When God tells you what to do, the Bible said, Isaiah 1:19, if we be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. And when God speaks a word to you, and when he gives you instruction about doing something, then you ought to obey that. Yes. Somebody said, well, they ain't going to let me down no basket. I ain't getting in no dirty basket being let down the wall. I'll tell you that, bless God. The next word you'll be speaking is, Jesus, how did I get up here to heaven? We have to operate in wisdom to walk in his divine protection. We need to operate in his wisdom. And we need to obey every rhema word. When God gives us a rhema word, we need to obey that. It was God protecting Paul when he left town that way. It was God in Acts 27 protecting all 276 souls on board that coastal freighter that Paul was on as a prisoner, headed to Rome. And they had left at a time, they left in October of 59, they say, and you never sailed past, they say, navigators of that day record, you never sailed past September. Never, because of the dangers of shipwreck and the unpredictable seas. And yet they left in October, late October of 59. And they took a majority vote, but they didn't operate in wisdom. But it was Paul's divine protector that protected him. And Paul said, you know, that God sent his angel, said, look, fear not, fear not. And Paul said, I believe God. It's going to be just like it was told me. That storm was so bad they were in, they didn't eat food for 14 days. That's a storm. Something keeps you from eating for 14 days, you in a storm. When something can interrupt your sleep at night, you're in a storm. But Psalm 4 verse 8 said, I will both lay me down and sleep in peace because you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I said that I've got a divine protector. You've got a divine protector. Say it with me again. I've got a divine protector. He's watching over me. And God protected all 276 souls. That ship didn't make it. The ship ran aground just like God said. The ship crashed, but all 276 of them made it safely. It was God that protected Paul from snake bite in Acts 28. He's the only one, all 276. You can imagine people are getting wood. People are helping build a fire. They're cold. They just came out of the sea. And what happens? The only pile of wood there's a snake in is Paul's wood. Paul's pile. Snake bit. But the Lord was his divine protector. Over and over again, God has proven that he will be our protector. Over in Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says that the protection of the Lord is like a shield to you and I. His protection is like a shield. God has us hedged in. He's got a hedge of protection around you. He's got a hedge of protection around your family. My brother and sister, we're going to have to speak and speak forth his promises, remind us of his promises. We're going to have to walk under our in our integrity. Walk in our integrity and walk in wisdom. And then listen, we have to do what I call stay under the umbrella. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. It's raining real hard one day and Tony, you know, she got out of the car, ran around, got the umbrella, put her under the umbrella. And then she's walking, just talking. But as she's walking, she's talking and she's just pulling away from me and she's starting to get wet. And I said, baby, listen, don't talk to me under the umbrella. Stay under this umbrella. She said, oh, boo, I'm sorry. I said, girl, if you don't stand on this umbrella, you're going to get wet. And the same thing happens with God's promises. I wish you would hear me. His promises are an umbrella. And if we would stay under the umbrella, if we would live under the umbrella, if we would stay under the promises of God, we wouldn't be getting wet. But we're running all out from up under the umbrella. Said, Lord, why I get wet? You got wet because you ran out from under the umbrella. Let's stay under the umbrella of his protection. Why? Because I've got a divine protector watching over me. Help me one more time. Tell me now. I've got a divine protector watching over me. Let's pray together. Father, we've endeavored in these moments to share what you laid upon our heart. Oh, you're the same God. According to Hebrews 13:8, what you did yesterday, you'll do today. Father, you're our divine protector. Thank you for all the times you've watched over us. Thank you for all the times you've protected us. Father, you've protected us in the air. You've protected us on the ground. You've protected us in the automobile. You've protected us on ships. You've protected us every place the sole of our feet have tread. You've been there to protect us. Over and over again, Father, your hand of protection have watched over us. And Father, we say like Israel tonight, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be tonight? We give you the glory. We want to go on record again tonight, giving you the praise, giving you the honor, saying you are good. It is your protecting hand that has been watching over us, and we don't know where we would be without your protecting hand. Thank you for your promises of protection. We speak forth your promise. As we believe in our heart, we speak and confess with our mouth your promises of protection. Father God, thank you for watching over us in the night season. Thank you for watching over us in the job. Thank you for watching over us every place that we've been. We give you the glory and the honor. And we commit to stay under the umbrella of your protection. We commit to walk in wisdom so that we can have your protection. We commit to walk in our own integrity to have your protection. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God's a good God. He loves us, and he wants to help us, and he's got mighty, magnificent promises to see us through. Come on forward, prayer warriors. These prayer warriors, men and women, are here to pray with you. And as we close tonight, what do you need from God? You want to be saved, born again? You want to be free from sin? Maybe you want to be filled with the mighty Holy Spirit, the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. These folks are down here to pray with you for that. And they're not just down here. They're down here anointed. They're ready to minister to you. Now listen, they're not here to counsel you. They're not going to spend all day and night talking with you, but they will pray with you. And you want to be saved. You want to be healed. You want to be delivered or set free. You want to claim. You want somebody to agree with you concerning God's protection. Come on forward. All we ask is that the guys come to the guys, of course, and the ladies go to the ladies. But the moment the service concludes, don't turn around and walk out. You got a prayer request, come on down. Let God meet your need. I want to thank you for coming tonight. I want to thank you for your attention tonight and being so wonderful to minister to. We just thank God for watching over you. Someone told me recently, they said, man, you were speaking and you were talking about, this wasn't your point. You were talking about, I think it was Brother Christian. He said, you were talking about a point about how you taught defensive driving and you would teach your sons when they approached a red light to look left, right, left, and then proceed through the light. That's a defensive driving technique. And he said, you had just ministered that. And he said, I don't know why that was in my mind. And he said, I was going down the road. And he said, I was thinking about what you said, that left, right, left. And that wasn't what I was preaching on. But he said, that's what I was thinking about. And he said, I never look left when I'm approaching a light. And he said, but I heard you say it. And he said, so I just looked left. And he said, a car came zooming through. That would have hit me. But God protected him. And he's protecting you. All right. Did we have any first-time guests tonight? Pastor Ted, we did. We want to thank you on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, our most excellent senior pastors. We want to thank you for on behalf of all of our most excellent church family here. We're so glad you came. And we've got a fantastic gift for you for coming tonight. And we hope you'll come back on Wednesday, Hour of Power. And then Sunday morning, be right here and be a mighty word for you. All right. Let's keep our pastors in prayer this week. And then anything else? Did I forget anything? We all good? All right. Well, you are dismissed. God bless you.